lining the circular walls, and a pedestal of cabinetry in the middle, decorated with a velvet tablecloth embroidered with the king's signet. Above us, mage lights emit a soft glow, the illumination catching on the curves and knot-like lines carved into the decorative ceiling about 5 feet above Arik's head. The scent of damp earth is gone, and it's considerably cooler in this room than the tunnel beyond the archway. I scour above, but there are no windows for ventilation or any visible modifications I can see. It's not just the wards, there's magic in this room.
Pull me in, now, Zayden demands.
No, Arik replies without so much as glancing in his direction. The only perk I'm getting out of this whole expedition is knowing how much it must pain you to realize you can't get to her. Stop antagonizing him and get to work, Arik. You start to the left and ignore anything that's not handwritten. I peek through the archway to see Zayden in full fuck you mode. His hands are loose and shadows rise around him, forming blades as sharp as the one he carries. But it's the cool, calculating wrath in his eyes that makes me worry for Arik's health, which is why I don't insist he pull Zayden in.
I'm fine, I promise him. I'm going to fucking kill him.
Then you'd be responsible for the deaths of 2 princes.
Warwick and Lyra, right? Arik questions, already pulling tomes from the shelves.
Yes, I reply.
Alec deserved it. He was a bully and forfeited his life by coming after Garrick during threshing. Though I wonder who it was that told Arik, since if his father knew, I highly doubt I'd still be in possession of my head.
Well, Arik doesn't deserve it. I skip the right side of the shelves in favor of the cabinetry. If I had a 600-year-old book that was worth our entire kingdom, I'd store it where it was least exposed to the elements. I pull open the first drawer, which stores 2 books, The Study of Winged Creatures, which looks to be at least half a century old, and A History of the Island Wars, which appears even older.
These are old journals, Arik says. Looks like every commanding general of the armies since the unification.
Keep going. I check the next drawer, then the next, and so on, until I've opened 3/4 of the storage. It's an exercise in self-control not to open every book and devour its contents. There are tomes here on the early wars, the history of the individual provinces, mythology of the gods, and even what looks to be the earliest tome I've ever seen on mining practices. My fingers itch to turn the pages, but I know better than to damage the parchment.
This shelf is all journals of the commanding generals of the Riders?
Arik lowers his hood and glances over his shoulder at me.
They used to be separate positions.
I move to the last section of the center pedestal.
Healers, infantry, or even scribes could be the general of the armies until about 200 years ago, with the 2nd Crovelin Uprising. After that, the commander of the Riders commanded all Navarre's forces.
You know that no Rider has ever been named king, right? Imogen asks through the archway.
That's not entirely true, I start opening the top drawer.
If you're asking if I give a shit about being 2nd in line, then the answer is no, Arik says over his shoulder at Imogen.
It's Haldan's destiny to be king, not mine.
Does Haldan know, I ask, reading over the titles in the top drawer, about what's happening out there?
Yes, Arik says quietly.
And? I look over at him.
Our eyes lock for a heartbeat before he replaces a tome and moves to the next. I'm here, aren't I?
Understood. Haldan isn't going to help. Guess we have that in common.
I still can't believe you kept his secret all these months, Imogen says.
I kept yours too, I remind her, opening the next drawer. This entire section seems dedicated to historical records.
I've known Violet longer, which is why I'm not surprised she kept yours.
He looks my way and moves to the next set of shelves. The rift between you and Atos was what caught me off guard. You two were inseparable when we were kids.
Yeah, well, kids grow up. I bark out the words, shutting the drawer with a little more force than necessary.
You can't trust him, you know.
Figured that out by that little exchange that went down between the two of you on the mat.
He pulls out another tome. These are the generals of the healers. Useful, but not what we need. I crouched to open the last drawer. Fuck, more records.
We're down to 20 minutes, and we need 10 of those to get back to the door, Imogen warns, her tone tight with urgency.
The collar of my armor tightens a little more, and I tug it away from my throat.
These are the scribes, Arik says at the fourth case.
As carefully as you can, glance through the earliest ones. Try to only touch the edges of the pages. I close the bottom drawer and stand. There are two more cases to search. Look for anything that mentions wards or wardstones. He nods and pulls the first one down. My attention shifts to the sixth bookcase.
Half of these look like Tyrish history, I tell Zayden.
Fascinating. We'll come back and study up after we win this war, he replies.
A guard rustles and we all pivot, but Zayden has him knocked out again before he so much as opens his eyes.
Hurry before I do permanent brain damage over here.
This is dated 6 AU, Arik says, shutting the journal. The wards were well in place by then.
Shit.
Frustration expands the knot in my throat. Start the next one. I pull a promising, cracked-spined tome, but it's a fucking weather almanac.
Arts and crafts?
Arik shows me the painted cover of one.
Violet, Imogen warns, that giant-ass door is going to seal us in here in 15 minutes.
This is not how this was supposed to go. But isn't that the story of my life these last couple of months? The propaganda should have opened the eyes of other cadets. Mira should have believed me, and Darna should be awake.
Take a breath, Zayden orders.
You look like you're about to pass out, and I can't catch you.
What if this is all for nothing?
I concentrate on lowering my heart rate, on keeping the panic from consuming me, then tilt my head to the side and read the spines of the collection in front of me that pertains to the Isle Kingdoms.
Then we'll know to look elsewhere. The only way to fail this mission is to be caught. You still have 5 minutes. Use them.
Astronomy, Arik says, dropping down to read the bottom row of titles.
I close my eyes, draw a deep breath, and find my center. Then I open them and step back from the shelves. In the storage of ancient documents, I recite from the scribe manual, it is not only temperature and touch that must be monitored.
Glad to see you haven't changed that much.
Arik's mouth curves into the first smile I've seen from him in years.
But light, I glance up. Light will steal ink's pigment and crack the leather of spine and cover.
One time I heard her recite the entire unification agreement while climbing the battlements in Kaldir, Arik notes, moving to the top of the next bookcase.
Light!
They'd have to be hidden from light. I start searching for track marks in the floor that might signal another hidden door or cubby or something.
Thought we weren't talking, Zayden drawls. Wasn't talking to you, he glances at Imogen.
So it's not all marked ones you hate, she replies, folding her arms across her chest.
Why would I hate you?
Arik puts the tome back. Your parents led a righteous rebellion, and from what I can tell, you're just trying to do the same. I hate him for killing my brother.
Fair enough, Imogen starts to tap her foot.
Where would your father keep his most precious possession? I ask Arik. He'd want to show it off, right?
He'd keep it within easy reach, Arik agrees.
And are you going to tell me what it is you guys are trying to ward? It's a rebel outpost, isn't it?
Zayden's eyes meet mine as I prod the wood pieces between the drawers on the centerpiece, looking for a pop-out compartment.
King Tari would keep the journals within reach.
It's the only logical thing to do, Arik says, dropping to the floor and looking under the center pedestal. To establish your own wards that aren't dependent on Bezgayets because you know you'll be waging war on two fronts.
There's nothing under here, he stands.
Where is it? Draethys?
That's the most logical choice, close to both the Navarian border and the sea.
Violet, we have to go, Imogen warns, walking toward the guards and rolling up the sleeves of her cream robes.
King Tari would want to show them off. I reach for the velvet tablecloth and pull it off.
There!
I point to the circle of glass set in the top of the pedestal.
Arik, beneath the glass!
Two leather tomes barely larger than my hand, perfect for keeping in a rucksack. While riding the first dragons.
Not glass, another set of wards.
He leans over the cabinet and reaches in. then lets out a sharp hiss, his face contorting in pain as he pulls out both books. Fuck! He sets them on the edge of the cabinet, then holds his hands up. I watch in horror as blisters the size of my thumb swell over every inch of skin that passes through the wards.
I think those wards know I wasn't him, he grimaces. Let's go.
I unbelt my robes and reveal the two cream satchels Jacinia gave me for this exact reason, then carefully put one tome in each.
2 minutes, Imogen shouts from where she's kneeled next to the guards, her hands on the larger one's head.
Zayden drops two wineskins into their laps, and I snatch the tablecloth from the floor, then throw it over the case.
Zanal may love you, but let's not test him.
Arik grits through his teeth, holding out a blistered hand.
It's going to hurt, I protest, tying my belt tight. And I'm not leaving you in here.
He grabs hold of my hand and grunts in pain as he pulls us through the wards and into the hallway. My hand is sticky when he lets go.
We have to run, Zayden gestures down the hallway, and I do exactly that. Run.
When the robe gets in the way, I gather the fabric in my hands and sprint, following Zayden as he races up the stairs.
Bet you're glad we've been running every morning, Imogen calls from behind me as we turn and turn and turn, the staircase dizzying me by the time we emerge into the classroom.
Zayden reaches for the lever Jacinia used, and as soon as Imogen and Arik are clear, he pushes. We wait only long enough to see that the entrance begins closing before taking off again. My chest heaves as we run down the hallways, Zayden taking every turn Jacinia did, never once questioning himself. Either he's really certain of the path, or he knows we can't afford the time to even debate.
We reach the main library and the bells ring out, signaling an hour has passed.
Faster, Zayden demands.
They peal once. There is no faster.
But I don't have enough breath to snap back at him. Our boots pound against the marble as we race between the tables, twice.
Run! Sawyer shouts from the entrance.
Oh, God, it's the door. 3 times, it's closing on its own, and the locking mechanism won't allow it to open until a full 12 hours passes.
The muscles in my thighs burn in protest. I skid as we turn at the last of the tables, sliding into the end of the bookshelf and hitting my shoulder hard enough to wince.
A fourth. Zayden falls back to run at my side, but he's the faster of us.
Take the books, I shout between gasping breaths. You can make it!
A fifth.
You stay, I stay.
He lifts a hand, sprinting with it outstretched, and the shadows fly from the walls to push against the closing door as we pass the study table.
Sawyer clears the narrow path that remains between the thick steel of the door and its casing.
The bells ring out a sixth time. Zayden pushes me through the doorway first, and once I'm in, I look back, my breath's ragged and my heart pounding so hard I can feel it in my head.
Imogen races by, and Zayden reaches into the doorway as the seventh bell peals.
Oh God, he's going to lose an arm, and Arik, they're not going to make it.
An excerpt from Recovered Correspondence of Lieutenant Zayden Ryerson to Cadet Violet Sorengale. My last words with my father before the Battle of Aratia were spoken in anger because he was sending me away for my own safety. I'm not sure I'll ever forgive myself for that, but I like to think he forgives me. Chapter 34.
Zayden yanks Arik through just as the door slams, shadows scattering along the floor like fallen leaves.
I sag, leaning over and bracing my hands above my knees as I gasp for air.
You made it!
Rhiannon ducks her head to mine, smiling wide.
And we have to keep making it, Zayden reminds us. Robes off, keep to the plan.
My heart slows somewhat, and I straighten. Then shrug out of the scribe's robes, putting them in Quinn's outstretched palms. Bodhi helps Arik out of his, careful with the blistered hands.
Did you get them?
Jacinia signs, hope lighting her face. I nod.
Will they suspect you?
Nasia looks more unconscious than asleep against the wall.
Not if I get us back to the dorms quickly, she replies.
I'll take care of him, Imogen says, heading over to Nasia.
He shouldn't remember much. I hit him from behind, Sawyer admits, stuffing the robes into a large cream laundry bag.
I translate for Jacinia.
I'll just berate him for falling asleep, she signs back, offering Sawyer a smile, and I translate.
He blinks, pausing for a long second before taking the last robe, Arik, and putting it into the bag.
Damn, your hands.
The blisters that have popped are bleeding, and those that haven't look like they might go at any second.
That's a rebound burn,
Bodhi says. It will clear up overnight if treated.
Change to the plan.
I glance at Zayden, but he merely lifts an eyebrow.
Riddick, take Arik to your room and keep his hands hidden.
Rhee, go to the infirmary and ask for Dire. A mender will draw too much attention. It might take him some time to report if he's not on duty. But he should keep quiet if you call in the debt he owes me.
You'll have to sneak him into the quadrant.
Good idea. I can do that.
She nods to the guys.
Come on, now.
The three of them take off down the hallway.
I'll take the laundry,
Jacinia signs. I translate for Sawyer and he hands over the bag.
Let's move,
Zayden orders.
Go, Jacinia urges. We're clear here.
Thank you, I sign, then head out with Zayden and the others.
How did it go for you?
Zayden asks Quinn as we pass the stairs on our left and continue toward the healer quadrant.
I projected into Commons and made it clear I was looking for lemonade because we've all been drinking in Imogen's room.
She grins, a dimple popping in her cheek, and then I managed to take a walk as Violet and Rhiannon.
My mouth drops and I nearly stumble. You projected looking like someone else?
She nods. I can distort my own features a little, but it's way easier in the astral plane. My signet is stronger because Kruth was my great aunt's dragon. But she's not a direct descendant, so I don't have to worry about going mad like those whose dragons bond in the direct familial line. Dragons aren't supposed to even get close to family lines for that exact reason. Like, they listen to human rules. She glances at Imogen. I still can't quite get the right shade of pink for your hair. We fall quiet as we pass by the infirmary. It's the last obstacle before we can split up in the quadrant as planned.
Well, that was blissfully uneventful.
Bodhi pushes open the door to the bridge.
Speak for yourself, Imogen replies, smacking him in the chest as she walks by. You weren't in charge of keeping Zayden calm while Arik had Violet trapped behind the wards with him.
I scoff because we both know that's not how that went down. Zayden's jaw ticks. We part once we reach the other side of the bridge. Imogen and Quinn take the stairs to their rooms. Bodhi and Sawyer head to the commons to make as much of a scene as they can in order to be remembered. And Zayden and I climb to the first floor and escape into the courtyard. The October air cools my flushed cheeks.
You feel all right?
Zayden asks as we pass a group of cadets. Thirsty from sprinting, but I don't bother fighting the smile that stretches across my face.
But good.
He glances my way, his gaze flickering to my mouth, then tugs me into one of the shadowy alcoves carved into the thick walls.
That smile,
he murmurs before his mouth takes mine in a hungry kiss. I arch against him, spearing my hands into his hair as I kiss him back with everything I feel. It's not slow and sensuous like the one we shared in my room. This is hard and fast and
happy.
We're both smiling when we break apart.
We did it,
I say as my hands fall to his shoulders.
We did it, he agrees, resting his forehead against mine. I hate leaving before I really have to.
Me too.
I pull back and lift one of the satchels from my shoulder, then remove the journal.
But it's safer this way. You need to get one to Brennan.
I flip to the center of Warwick's journal and grin at the sprawling strokes of old Lucerish, keeping my ungloved fingers to the very edge.
What I read has me grinning, victory swelling in my chest.
After we place the last rune, we place the wardstone where the dragons felt the deepest currents of magic run. I translate slowly to Zayden, then glance up.
I might be off a word or two, but it's here.
I flip another few pages. That last step complete, the protections fell into place at. My face scrunches as I work out the rest.
At the birth of an iron rain.
I spot at least three more mentions of that term before quickly putting the journal back in the satchel.
This is it. I hand it to Zayden. Take this to Brennan. He should be able to translate it. They won't expect you to leave until morning, so you can get out of here without being searched if you head out now. And splitting up the journals means we can read them twice as fast, and ensures that one of them makes it out of this place. He folds the cream canvas around the journal inside, then unbuttons his flight jacket and stores the bundle against his chest before rebuttoning. I wish I could spend the night, he says in that gravelly tone that instantly turns me on. That makes two of us. He stares at me with something like longing, then reaches into the shadows and grabs the pack he'd stored there earlier. Keeping his eyes locked with mine, he swings the pack onto his back, then reaches for my face and kisses me again. The simple pleasure of it is perfect. You are astonishing, he says against my lips. I'll see you in 7 days. 7 days, I agree, fighting the urge to pull him into another kiss and another. Now go. We have to keep to the plan, remember? He kisses me hard and quick, then walks away, striding across the courtyard like he owns it. I rub my hand over my heart, hoping to ease the ache of watching him walk away. But the hurt is nothing compared to the triumph I feel. I step into the courtyard, then look up, waiting to catch one last glimpse of him in the overcast sky as he flies southeast. For the first time in months, it's hope coursing through my veins instead of dread. We can do this. We're doing this. We have the first-hand account of how the first six activated their wardstone. And I know I can talk Zayden into flying for Corden to secure the luminary with me. He won't like it, but he'll do it. I just have to figure out how to get the leave approved. And until then, we'll keep doing what we're doing, smuggling out weaponry and building from within Navarre until we can stand on our own. Aracia will have wards in a matter of days, I'm certain of it. Violet? I look over my shoulder and smile at Nolan as he approaches, carrying a wineskin in one hand and a pewter mug in the other. He looks so damn tired, like he's just come from a major session, or 12. Hi, Nolan, I wave. I thought that was you. I was getting some lemonade when Jack told me he saw you out here, and I remembered that you're on my mending list. He hands me the mug, then stands at my side, looking up at the sky. It's your favorite, if I remember. That's too kind of you. I lift the mug and drink deeply, slaking the thirst that's burned my throat since our little sprint through the archives. And don't worry about my shoulder, it's already healed. You know, I never got the chance to thank you for helping us during interrogation. I never like to see you hurt, and Varish has it out for you. He drinks from his own skin, then scratches his stubbled cheek. Where is Ryerson, anyway? I don't often see you apart on Saturdays. My stomach dips as Jack Barlow walks across the courtyard, Caroline Ashton at his side with some other second years from First Wing. It completely flips when he gives me a nod, which I awkwardly return. Violet? Nolan prompts, following my line of sight to Jack. Everything all right? Everything is fine. And Zayden left earlier. We don't always get along. I take another sip of the lemonade, then glance down at the contents. The kitchen must have changed up the recipe because it has a funny yet familiar aftertaste. I meant what I said, Nolan says quietly, glancing at the cream satchel I carry. Cream, not black. My head blurs, my vision swimming momentarily as I swing my head to look at him. Taryn, but Taryn isn't there. Every connection I have is fuzzy. No, oh gods, no, but I've trusted Nolan with my life for years. I never like to see you hurt, Nolan whispers, apology crinkling his brow as the mug rolls from my hand, crashing to the gravel a heartbeat later. But I can't protect you from the consequences of your own actions when you risk the safety of every civilian in this kingdom. Bootsteps sound all around me and the world spins, but it's Varish's face I see hovering above mine. Why, Cadet Sorengale, what have you gotten yourself into?
an excerpt from Major Ofendra's Guide to the Rider's Quadrant, unauthorized edition. The only signet more terrifying than an intrinsic is a truthsayer. And yet, we let them live. Chapter 35. I blink slowly, my vision coming into focus with all the urgency of a snail. Dull, throbbing pressure radiates forward from the back of my head, and the mass of gray clears slightly, revealing stones set in a spiral pattern, a patch of them charred from smoke. A ceiling?
That's not our concern, a man says, his voice unfamiliar and raspy. We follow orders.
Fear-laced adrenaline charges through me, but I lock my muscles tight, forcing myself to remain as still as possible so I can get a grip on what the fuck is happening.
It is if she finds out, another voice, this one female, replies.
It smells like wet moss and iron, and the air is cool but thick. We're underground. A steady dripping sound fills the silence.
She's in Caldir. We have a week until she's scheduled to return,
the raspy-voiced one says. And I'm sitting. That's what's digging into the base of my skull, the back of a chair. The weight across my wrists and ankles is familiar. I'm strapped in, just like the assessment.
Tarn,
I reach out, but the connection is foggy and my power doesn't rise.
The lemonade, the satchel. Nolan. Fuck, I've been caught. Ah, there she is.
A grizzled face appears over mine and the man smiles, revealing three missing teeth.
Major, your prisoner is awake.
He retreats, and I lift my head, taking in my surroundings. The prison cell is wedge-shaped, and a door that looks exactly like the one in the interrogation chamber makes up the narrowest portion. But this cell isn't for instructional purposes. My jailer wears infantry blue, which means this must be the brig. I assume the wooden shelf at my right is meant to be a bed, and at least there's a toilet on the other side of that. Fear pulses through my veins at the sight of the unwashed, blood-stained walls, and I quickly look away, scanning the rest of the cell as my head clears. Nora, the woman who always dumps my bag, leans against a wooden table, her arms folded, and her face puckers into lines of what I think might be concern as the door opens beside her. The smile on Major Varish's face forms a pit in my stomach as he enters.
Oh, gods. The others. Are they here? Have they been hurt?
A boulder lodges in my throat, making it nearly impossible to draw a full breath.
Out, he tells the other man, who scurries like a spider into the main chamber but doesn't shut the door behind him,
giving me a glimpse of a desk covered in my black-hilted daggers before Varish blocks the view.
I promised you I'd try your way once, Varish calls over his shoulder.
Terror expands the pressure in my throat. I can't reach Taren or Zayden, can't call on my signet or even my knife skills since my hands are bound. I'm alone and fucking defenseless.
Nolan walks in, his steps sluggish, his eyes heavy with sadness.
We just need you to answer a few questions, Violet.
You trucked me, my voice cracks. I trusted you. I've always trusted you.
Clear this up quickly, and we can return to trusting each other, Nolan says. Let's start with why you stole Lyra's journal.
He reaches behind Nora and brings out the book. Every interrogation technique I've been taught deserts me, and I stare, just stare at the journal, my mind scrambling for a way out of this when there clearly is none.
I wanted to be wrong, he says gently. But Markham had sounded the alarm that the royal wards within the king's private library had been breached. And then I saw you standing in the courtyard with a scribe's satchel.
Which is common to transport books from the archives, I counter.
Damn it,
We were stupid for not assuming tripping the wards would alert Markham.
And had that been the case, you would have woken up in the infirmary with a headache and my most sincere apologies.
Nolan holds up the scarred leather journal, the very key to protecting Erasia.
But you carried this.
We're not here to argue that point.
Varish watches me with rapt fascination.
Answer my questions, and we'll let you go sleep that headache off before class tomorrow. Lie, even once, and it's going to get messy.
So it's already Sunday.
Three questions.
Nolan shoots a stern look in Varish's direction.
We want to know how you did it, who you did it with, and most importantly, why.
The boulder in my throat loosens, and I fill my lungs completely, willing my panic to subside. They don't know who, which means no one else is chained up down here. Not Zayden, or Rhiannon, or Arik, or any of the others. It's just me. Being alone just turned into a blessing. And I'm not defenseless. I'm still in full possession of my mind.
Let's start with how you breached a royal ward, Varish suggests.
It would be impossible for me to breach a royal ward, seeing as I'm not royal. I lift my chin and mentally prepare for the worst.
She's telling the truth, Nora says, tilting her head to the side. My signet detects lies. Tell one, and I'll know.
My heart jolts. Truth it is, then. After this is over, I'll have to explain my answers or lack thereof to my mother. Every single word matters.
Violet, please, Nolan pleads, setting the journal on the table. Just explain. Was it an unsanctioned squad challenge? Some kind of dare between second years? They're still trying to ascertain exactly what's missing. Help us. Tell us, and this will go much easier for you.
Trying to ascertain. They can't get in.
You're jumping to the why part.
Varish rolls his eyes. Honestly, Nolan, this is why you've never been suited to interrogation. His pale gaze locks on mine.
How?
How can you assume that book isn't a reproduction if you haven't verified the original is even missing? I ask Nolan. Nolan glances sideways at Varish.
Markham said the coverlet wasn't disturbed.
And yet we have the fucking journal.
Varish walks a slow circle around me.
Is it a reproduction?
He's trying to catch me in a lie. I wouldn't know, seeing as I haven't examined it. There hadn't been time.
Truth, Nora rules. Varish stops in front of me, and I look straight into those pale, soulless eyes.
I'm guessing you have no proof, Major Varish, because none of you can cross a royal ward, and no one is volunteering to tell the king that there's been an alarm, false or otherwise. Please let me remind you, the last time someone accused me of lying without proof, they found themselves assigned to the farthest outpost Luceris has to offer.
Ah, you mean Atos.
He doesn't even flinch.
No worries. I'll ferret out the evidence he needs while I have you here under my supervision, since you're proving to be combatant instead of helpful, as Nolan had hoped. Grady is such a stickler for rules, so our last encounter wasn't nearly as fruitful as I would have liked.
He crouches, looking at me like I'm a shiny new toy he can't wait to break.
Who stole that book for you?
He looks pointedly at my hands.
Because we both know you didn't.
Selective truth. That's all I have within my arsenal to protect my friends. I alone put that particular book into its bag.
She's telling the truth, Nora remarks. I glance from Varish to Nolan. And I'm done answering your questions. If you want to put me on trial, then call a quorum of wing leaders and do so according to the rules put forth in the Codex.
Varish stands slowly, then backhands me,
Pain erupts in my cheek as my head snaps to the side under the force of the blow. Major! Nolan shouts.
Nora, order an immediate formation and check the hands of every cadet in the quadrant, Varish says as I blink through the sting. Nolan, you're dismissed.
I breathe deeply, preparing for the coming pain as Varish rolls up the sleeves of his uniform. I try to focus on a misshapen brick in the wall, try like hell to disassociate from my body. No matter what happens in this room, they can't change the fact that Zayden got out with Warwick's journal. Brennan will have what he needs to raise Aracia's wards. Whatever agony Varish has planned will be worth it.
Violence. Remember, it's only the body that's fragile. You are unbreakable.
I cling to Zayden's words.
I'll call you when you're needed,
Varish promises, waving Nolan off.
When he's needed to mend me. Don't worry. I'll start small, Varish tells me. And you have all the power here, Cadet Sorengale. This stops as soon as you talk.
I cry out when he dislocates the first finger, then scream when he breaks it.
Drip, drip. Drip.
I pretend the sound is rain against my window. Pretend the hard, unforgiving wood under my cheek is Zayden's chest. That the arm bent at an unnatural angle in front of me, throbbing in time with my pulse, belongs to someone else.
Sleep, if you can.
The suggestion is soft. The voice so achingly familiar that I squeeze my undamaged eye shut. You're not really here. You're a hallucination from pain and dehydration, a mirage.
Maybe, Liam says, and I open my eye just enough to see him sit on the floor beneath me.
He pulls his knees up, resting his elbow on the side of the bunk just beneath my fractured arm.
Or maybe Malik sent me as a kindness.
Malik doesn't do kindness, nor does he allow souls to wander about. Kudos to my brain. He's an excellent hallucination. He looks exactly as he had the last time I saw him, dressed in flight leathers and wearing a smile that makes my heart ache.
I'm not wandering, Violet. I'm exactly where I need to be.
Everything hurts. Unending pain threatens to pull me into the blackness again. But unlike the last two times, I fight to stay conscious. It's the first moment I've been alone in hours, and I no longer fear the chair in the middle of the room. Now I know more bones break when Varish takes me out of it.
I know, Liam says gently. But you're staying strong. I'm so proud of you.
Of course that's what my subconscious would say, exactly what I need to hear. I run my tongue over the split in my lip and taste blood. Varish hasn't taken a blade to me, but my skin has split from his blows in so many places that I feel like one giant open wound. The last time I moved, my uniform crunched from dried blood.
Bring in her squad, Nora suggests from the antechamber. She'll break as soon as you start on them.
Liam's jaw flexes, and fear knots my empty stomach.
She didn't. During assessment,
Varish responds. Gods, I wish I didn't know his voice.
And bringing them in means they'll know what's happened. And given the relic winding around Imogen Cardullo's arm, I doubt she'll be willing to wipe their memories. Killing them presents an entirely different set of issues, too. You're sure none of the cadets have hand injuries?
I inspected them all myself, Nora replies.
Devera and Emeterio are asking where she is, as is the rest of her squad. She's missed class today.
It's Monday. I reach for Taryn, but the bond is still fogged.
Right, because they forced that solution down my throat once again between shattering my arm and snapping my ankle. He didn't even have to take off my boots to make that happen.
But it's only my body they've broken.
I haven't spoken a single word.
That means you've been here 2 days, Liam says.
It will be another 5 before Zayden realizes I'm missing. No doubt they're monitoring correspondence to make sure someone doesn't alert him. He can't react, Liam. If he does, he'll risk everything.
You think he's not already losing his shit? A corner of Liam's mouth rises into the cocky smirk I've missed so much.
I'd bet he already knows. Sigale will have felt Tarn's panic. That dragon of yours might not be able to reach you this deep under Basgaeth, but Zayden's going to rip this place apart brick by brick. You just have to survive.
He can't risk the movement. He won't. Zayden's priorities have always been clear. And damn if that's not one of the things I love about him.
He will.
The door opens, but I don't have the energy or the ability to rise, to turn my head or even lift a hand. My heart jumps, pounding like it sees the chance to flee this hellscape of a body. I don't know how to tell it that Mira's armor will keep it safe long after it wishes it could just stop.
Varish lowers himself to my eye level, no more than a foot away from Liam.
You must be in so much pain. It can all stop. Maybe Nolan was right. Let's forget how you stole the book. You're clearly not going to give up your accomplices, but I need to know why. Why would you need a journal from one of the first 6?
I've been reading it. Interesting history.
What are you trying to ward, Sorengale?
He waits, but I keep my words to myself. He's way too fucking close.
We could just stop dancing around each other and have a true discussion, he offers.
Surely you have questions I could answer about why it is we don't involve ourselves in Peromish issues.
Is that what this is? Righteous indignation. We could have an equal exchange of information, since we both know it wasn't griffins that killed your friend's dragon.
I startle, and pain washes over me fresh and violent.
Don't fall for it, Liam shakes his head. You know he's trying to play you.
But how much do you know?
Varish asks softly, like it's a kindness.
And what have you been doing with the marked ones? We've been watching them for years, of course. But until Cadet Atos gave you up, all we'd had to go on was speculation. But then, you didn't come back to Basgaeth. No outposts reported you seeking a healer, so I'm going to rephrase my earlier question. Where did you go, Cadet Sorengale? Where are you trying to ward?
This is so much bigger than me stealing the book.
Gods, you're good.
Or you're in too much pain to react. Varish tilts his head, reminding me of an owl as he studies me.
Do you know what my signet is, Cadet Sorengale? Why it is I'm so good in this room?
It's classified, but we're all friends here, aren't we? I stare at him but don't reply.
I don't see people.
He tilts his head and studies me.
I see their weaknesses.
It's a great advantage in battle. Honestly, you surprised me when we first met. From everything I'd heard about the youngest Sorengale, I expected to look at you and see pain, broken bones, or maybe shame for never living up to Mom's expectations. He skims his finger over the obvious break in my forearm, but doesn't apply pressure. The threat is enough to make my chest tighten.
But I saw nothing.
Someone taught you to shield. And I'll admit you're very good at it. He leans closer.
Do you want to know what I see, now that we've cut you off from your power?
Hatred wells within me, and I hope he sees it.
By Dune, must I carry all of the conversation?
Yes, of course I want you to know, he says, raising his voice in mock imitation.
Well, Cadet Sorengale, your weaknesses are the people you love. So many people to choose from. Squad leader Mateus and the rest of your squad, your sister, your dragons.
A twisted smile curves his mouth.
Lieutenant Ryerson.
My heartbeat skips.
Hold steady, Violet, Liam says.
She's triggered, Nora notes from the doorway.
I know, Varish replies, and I bet you're thinking he'll be the one who comes for you, aren't you?
He admires the bruises on my forearm like they're artwork.
That comes Saturday when you don't show in Samara, he'll come looking, even if it means violating his leave policy. You're pinning your hopes that he'll break the rules for you, that he'll save you, since your own mother hasn't lifted a finger for you.
My throat moves even though I'm too dehydrated to swallow.
He won't wait until Saturday, Liam promises. That's what I'm counting on, Varish nods. I waited all year for you to break a rule so I could question you under Codex.
Your mom's a real rule follower that way.
But you have no idea the joy it gives me to know that Fenn, Ryerson's son, will break Codex by abandoning his post to come to your aid. That he'll be strapped to this chair next, and he will give me the answers I seek.
Wait, what? Shit, he's not just questioning you. He's setting a trap for Zayden. Liam tenses. My heart starts to pound.
You have so much power here, Sorengale. You alone can save Lieutenant Ryerson from what awaits him should he arrive. Tell me what I want to know, and I won't hurt him.
For a heartbeat, I'm tempted. The thought of Zayden being tortured makes my hand curl and my nails catch on the rough grain of the wooden slab.
Where are you trying to ward? What are the Marked Ones up to?
Hold the line, Vi. Liam rests his hand against my side, and gods, it feels so real. Talking would lead to the deaths of every living thing on this continent. If they had anything on Zayden, he'd already be in custody. They're not going to hurt him. They can't. Logically, I know that, but emotionally.
No? You're sure? You can save him right here, right now, because I think he'll come. And when he does, I will break him. And I'll make you watch,
Varish promises in a whisper.
But don't worry, you'll be screaming your secrets in no time.
Of course, by then I won't need them. I'll have who I really want. His gaze drops to my neck, as if he can see my pulse skyrocketing.
Ah, you see it now, don't you? Varish grins. I'm sure you think he's indestructible, but let me assure you. I was lucky enough to glimpse the most powerful rider of your generation fumble his shields like a novice once. It was for less than a second, but that was all I needed to see what it would take to shatter him. We'll have all the information we need in a matter of days. You're not the prize, Sorengale. You're the tool.
Fuck him.
Does Solas enjoy hiding?
My voice croaks and I cough. He blinks but quickly masks his surprise.
Just because you've blocked my ability to talk to Tarn doesn't mean he doesn't know exactly what you've done to me.
My lip splits again when I force a smile.
You're hunting Zayden. But Tarn is hunting Solas.
You're the weaker on both counts. I might die in this chamber, but I promise you will.
Just because I can't kill you without losing my target doesn't mean I won't shatter you over and over until he arrives.
We're going to have fun, you and I.
He stands, then brushes his hands on the thighs of his uniform before walking out. I hear his faint words through the door.
Call Nolan in. We need to start fresh.
But Varish is wrong. Zayden won't come. He'll choose the safety of the revolution. I'm now one of the people he can't save. I just have to hope that everyone is wrong, that he'll survive my death.
Don't leave me, I whispered to Liam.
I don't care that I'm far gone enough to hallucinate, that my brain is using Liam as a crutch. As long as he stays. As long as I'm not alone.
I won't. I swear.
Drip, drip, drip. I lose track of the hours, the beatings, the questions I refuse to answer. Nolan visits twice. Or maybe it's three times. Life is varying degrees of pain. But Liam never leaves. He's there every time I open my eyes, watching, talking me through the torture, holding my sanity together while simultaneously proving it's already left. At least once a day, they chain me into the chair and force the serum down my throat, blocking me from Tarn. I eat the food they provide because survival matters most. And I sleep after each mending session, only to wake and be broken again and again. My ribs are cracked thanks to a well-placed kick, and my left arm snaps in the same exact place Barish broke it the first time, which tells me that not only am I not at full strength, Nolan isn't either.
We could bring in Jack Barlow if this doesn't work. Nora's voice rises, bringing me fully awake from where I've dozed off in the chair. God knows he's been waiting for retribution.
Tempting, Varish replies.
I'm sure he'd be happy to find new and inventive ways to motivate her. But we can't trust him not to kill her. Can't trust that kid for anything, really, can we? Too unpredictable.
Still can't believe that fucker survived.
Liam mutters from where he stands, leaned against the wall to the right of the door.
Gods, I'm sore and swollen at the broken places, and discolored on the bits of skin I can see. Everything hurts. I'm not even sure I'm me anymore, as much as I am pain encased in a failing body. But Rhiannon isn't being put through this. Or Riddick, or Sawyer, or Imogen, or Quinn. Everyone I care about is safe. That's what I grasp onto.
You know, Sloane hates me, I whisper.
Sloane can be tough. Liam shoots me an apologetic half smile.
You're doing a good job.
Yeah, I'm a great role model.
It's all I can do to keep from rolling my eyes.
You asked to see me, sir? Down here? There have to be a dozen guards in the stairwell.
That voice. Fear slides down my spine, leaving chills in its wake as Liam's head jerks toward the door.
Dane. I'm so fucked. We all are.
I did, Varish responds. I need your help. Navarre needs your help.
What can I do?
I twist against the straps that hold me captive, but their buckles hold strong.
Stay calm, Liam whispers, like any of them can hear him.
We had a breach of security this week, and classified documents were stolen. We caught the perpetrator and prevented the loss of intelligence, but the prisoner...
There's a dramatic pause.
It's blatantly obvious by connection that this rider is working with what we suspect to be a second rebellion, intent on destroying Navarre. For the safety of every civilian within our wards, I need this prisoner's memories, Wingleader. You must extract the truth, or our very way of life will be compromised.
Well, when he puts it that way. I pull against my bonds again, sending ricochets of agony through my nervous system. I have no shields, no way to block him out. Everyone in Aracia is going to die, and it will be my fault.
I'm going to warn you, Varish says gently. The prisoner's identity may come as a shock.
The door swings open before I can fully prepare myself. Varish walks in, leaving Dane standing in the doorway, his eyes wide as his gaze sweeps over me, lingering on my swollen, purple-splotched hands, bound to the arms of the chair and the face I'm sure matches them. He can't even see the worst of it under my uniform, the broken bones and contusions.
Violet, please help me,
I whisper, even though I'm begging a Dane that no longer exists, the one I knew before he crossed the parapet, and not the hardened third year in front of me.
You've been torturing her for 5 days? Dane accuses Varish.
5 days? It's only Thursday.
Since she stole Lyra's journal from the king's private library? Varish sounds bored. Absolutely. She might have been a childhood friend, Atos. But we both know where her loyalties now lie. With Ryerson and the war he's planning against us, she wants to bring down the wards.
That's not true. I mean to shout, but it comes out more as a whimper, my voice hoarse from days of screaming. Varish has twisted everything. I would never hurt civilians. Dane, you know...
I don't know shit about you anymore. Dane counters, his face twisting in anger.
There's a war out there, I tell him, desperate to break through before he breaks me. Paromish civilians are dying, and we're not doing anything to help. We're just watching it happen, Dane.
You think we should involve ourselves in their civil war? Dane argues.
My shoulders slump. I think you've been lied to for so long that you won't recognize the truth, even when it hits you in the face.
I could say the same for you. Dane looks toward Varish. You're sure she was trying to take down the wards? I've had the journal sent back to the archives for safekeeping, but yes, the book she stole gave detailed instructions on how the wards were built and could be used as a map to unravel them. Varish clasps Dane's shoulder. I know this is hard to hear, but people aren't always who we want them to be.
Liam pushes off the wall and walks around the pair, coming to my side and crouching down.
I don't think you're going to be able to stop this.
Me either.
Try not to be angry with her, Varish tells Dane, his expression shifting to sympathetic. We can't always help who we fall in love with, can we?
Dane stiffens.
Ryerson pulled her into something she couldn't possibly understand. You know that. You saw it happen last year.
He sighs.
I didn't want to have to show you this, but...
He pulls my alloy-embedded dagger from his own sheath.
She was carrying this, too. That metal you see is what powers the wards. We think they've been smuggling them out to wherever they're planning to stage this war from, weakening our wards little by little.
Is that true?
Dane's gaze flies to mine. I spot Nora leaning against the door jamb and shudder.
I can explain. It's not how he's portraying it.
I don't need you to explain, Dane snarls. I've been asking you to talk to me for months, and now I see why you won't, why you're adamant I never touch you. You're scared I'll see what you've been hiding.
He stalks forward, and I shrink back in the chair. Zayden, forgive me.
Remember your ethics, cadet. Varish instructs, especially given your attachment to Cadet Sorengale. Search like you've been practicing, but focus on the word ward. Lieutenant Nora, a voice calls from the antechamber. All leadership is being ordered to assemble. There have been incidents at the border.
By whose order? Nora demands.
General Sorengale's.
We'll be there shortly, Nora replies, waving him off.
We might already be too late, Varish says, shaking his head. Ryerson deserted days ago, according to the reports we received this morning. We're gathering the marked ones now.
My breath ceases. He deserted. He could be safe in Horatia right now, raising the wards, but Imogen, Bodhi, Sloan, they're the ones leadership is gathering. Liam's hand settles on my shoulder, steadying me. They'll kill them all, and once they know about Horatia, they'll hunt the rest.
He can search your memory, Liam tells me. But logic says he'll have to muddle through what you're thinking first. What have you done, Violet? Varish asks.
Orchestrated another attack on an outpost.
Find out what you can, Atos. The safety of our kingdom depends on it. Time is of the essence.
Dane's eyes flare, and he lifts his hands.
You killed Liam, I blurt. He pauses, so you keep saying. But I only searched your memory to prove my father wrong, Violet, and all you did was prove him right. If the Marked Ones died betraying our kingdom, then they deserved what they got.
I hate you, I whisper, the sound strangled as my eyes prickle and burn.
She's stalling, Varish snips. Do it now. And if you see something you don't understand, I'll explain it once we know where their army is hiding. Just trust me that we are acting in the best interest of every citizen of Navarre. Our only goal is keeping them safe.
Dane nods and reaches for me, hesitating at the last second.
She's bruised everywhere.
Show him what you want him to see, Liam urges.
She's nothing more than a traitor, Varish retorts.
Right, Dane nods, and I close my eyes the second his fingers push in on my tender, aching temples. They may have blocked me from my power, but that stems from Tairn. The control over my mind? That's mine, and it's all I have left. Unlike last year, I feel Dane's presence at the edge of my mind this time, right where my shields should be, and instead of recoiling from the assault, I grab hold of that presence and throw myself into the memory, dragging Dane with me.
Do we have a riot nearby?
Liam asks. Gravity shifts as I realize my worst nightmare is indeed a living, breathing monster.
Two legs, not four. Wyvern.
They'd sent us here to die. Venom with red veins distended from their eyes, killing helpless people. Blue fire, desiccated land, soleil and fuel falling. We'll never be able to smuggle enough weaponry out to make a difference. They've kept us in the dark, erased our very history to avoid conflict, to keep us safe while innocent people die.
Liam, gods, Liam. I dig my mental fingernails into Dane and hold him there, make him feel it again with me. The helplessness, the chest-crushing sorrow, the eye-blurring rage. It's been my honor.
Liam's last words to me. My vengeance in the sky, fighting along Tairn's back, armed with the only weapon that will kill the Dark Wielder, doing her best to slay my dragon and end me. The moment the dagger slides into my side, I stop pulling Dane and start shoving, screaming both physically and mentally, filling my head with every ounce of pain that's been inflicted upon me in the last 4 days. Dane gasps, and his hands fall from my temples. I throw my eyes open, the sound of my scream still echoing in my ears as he draws back, horror etched on every line of his face. I'm here, Liam promises. And I still don't regret it, Vi, not 1 second. Wetness tracks down my cheeks.
Did you get what you wanted?
I manage to ask through my shredded vocal cords. You're smuggling weapons, Dane says slowly, searching my eyes. Stealing our weapons to aid another kingdom. My stomach sinks at my complete, absolute failure. Out of everything I showed him, that's what he took? I wrench my gaze from his to look at Liam, memorizing the lines of his face and those trademark blue eyes.
I'm so sorry I failed you.
You never failed me. Not once, he whispers, shaking his head. We pulled you into our war. If anyone's sorry, it's me. As you should be, Varish sneers. If Dane has conquered my memory, seen the weapons runs I've helped with, then he knows it all. A wave of hopelessness rolls over, stealing my resolve, my determination not to break. All I have left inside of me is pain, and that isn't worth fighting for. Not if I've just given up everything. Everyone that means anything to me.
They want us now, the man shouts from the antechamber.
Varish, Nora prompts. It's a summons for all leadership.
What did you find?
Varish turns to Dane, losing his composure.
Where are they staging from?
Give me that knife, Dane demands, holding out his hand. I want to compare it to the one I saw in the memory, the ones they're stealing from us.
Just don't kill her. We need to find and question Ryerson first. Use her as leverage.
Varish hands my dagger over to Dane. He glances over the weapon and nods.
This is the one. They're taking them out by the dozen, arming the enemy. I saw everything.
Brown eyes meet mine.
There's at least one drift involved.
My heart plummets. He knows. He saw, despite my best efforts. They'll question me again. Keep me prisoner to Lord Zayden, even. But they'll never let me leave here alive. This place I called home. The halls I walked with my father. The archives I worshipped alongside the gods. The field where I flew with Tern and Andarna. The halls where I laughed with my friends. And the rooms where Zayden held me will be my tomb. And the boy I used to climb trees with along its river will be my demise. I sag, the last of the fight, draining out of me in defeat.
Good, good. Now tell me where they are, Varish orders.
Dane grips the dagger in his left hand, spinning it so the blade runs parallel to his forearm as he brings it to my throat.
You should have trusted me, Violet.
I don't dare to even swallow as I hold the asshole's gaze. I won't die afraid.
None of this would have happened if you just trusted me.
The hurt in his eyes only feeds my rage. How dare he look wounded? And now it's too late.
Varish, Nora yells as shouts fill the antechamber.
Varish turns toward her, and I feel the knife slip against my skin. Dane is going to kill me.
You're all right. Liam steadies my shoulder. I'll be right here. I'm not going to leave you.
Tern and Darna. Gods, I hope they survive it. Zayden has to live. He just has to. I love him. I should have told him every day. Been honest about my feelings even through the fights and the doubt. Now, instead of giving those feelings back to Zayden, they'll die with me. My vision blurs, the tears streak down my cheeks, but I lift my chin. Dane whips his arm back, and I wait for the forward surge, the cut, the pain, the flow of blood. It doesn't come. Varish staggers backward, holding his side, his eyes bulging as a roaring sound fills my ears. Dane brings the bloodied knife to the straps at my wrists, cutting one free, then the other. I don't know if we can fight our way out of here, he says quickly, dropping down to cut my ankles free. Can you move? What the fuck is happening? Atos, Varish snarls, falling back against the wall, then sliding down the stone. He leaves behind a fresh trail of red. Violet, Dane shouts, forcing something into my hand. You have to move or we're dead. I wrap the fingers of my unbroken hand around the familiar hilt as Dane draws the sword at his side, holding it at Nora's throat when she lunges into the cell. Let us pass, and you'll live. He holds the blade steady and hooks his other arm behind my back as I try to stand, holding me upright when my legs try to fail. They're not newly broken since Nolan's last visit that I can remember, but I whimper at the pressure against my cracked ribs and the nausea as the room seems to spin. I make no such promises. The low, menacing threat weakens my knees a second before a hand with a dagger reaches around Nora's throat, slicing without hesitation. She falls, a torrent of blood flowing from the gaping wound in her neck. I look up into the wrath of Dune in the form of gold-flecked onyx eyes. An excerpt from Major Afendra's Guide to the Rider's Quadrant, unauthorized edition. The only crime worse than murdering a cadet is the unfathomable act of attacking leadership. Chapter 36. Rage shines in his eyes as Zayden holds his sword in his right hand and a dagger in his left, both dripping blood, both aimed to strike Dane. Oh, gods. No, I shout, lurching to put myself in front of Dane, but my feet don't cooperate and the ground rushes up to meet me. Shit! Steel rattles against the floor as Dane catches me with both hands. The edges of my vision turn black as pain threatens to pull me under. Every inch of my body screams in protest as I find my feet. But it's not just Dane's arms holding me. There are soft bands of shadows at my hips and beneath my arms. Two Zaydens appear, then merge into one as I fight to stay conscious. He saved me, I whisper. Don't kill him. Stabbing Varish earns Dane a chance, right? Zayden's gaze flickers to mine, and then he does a double take. God's Violet. Shadows explode around us, cracking stone and decimating the wooden slab of a bed marked with my blood. Guess my face is just as beaten as the rest of me. You came. I stumble forward, and Dane is smart enough to let me go. Zayden catches me, shadows grasping his sword as he splays his hand over my back and cradles me against his chest with a light touch, like he's afraid I might break. There's nowhere in existence you could go that I wouldn't find you. Remember? He drops his lips to the dirty, frayed, blood-spattered remains of my braid and kisses the top of my head. Leather and mint overpower the iron and moss scent of the cell, and for the first time since Nolan drugged me, I feel safe. Tears soak his chest. His or mine, I'm unsure. God's damn! Garrick says from behind Zayden. You took off running and then couldn't save a single one for me? Took me forever to clear the barricade of bodies in the staircase. My smile